Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Hour number two, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
My game day juices flowing in.
Yeah, I'll get you fired up.
I tried to get up and my ankle popped. So I'm going to sit my ass back down.
Yeah, man. No, that'll be played in the building tonight, sure. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, talk about the Falcons and Bucks game coming up in just a couple of minutes. Grant McCauley going to join us at 12:20, 92.9 The Game Braves Insider. Unfortunately, I don't know if this will be our last. We'll still talk to Grant in the offseason, maybe not every Thursday, but the last in-season conversation, because the season ended last night. And then we'll get to the back page with Bo at 12:40.
Dude, did you see this Rasheed Rice thing?
With his mom?
Dude.
Yeah, did, yeah.
I don't know. I had to keep going back.
Yeah.
First of all, I had to Google what they say she took or whatever. And I was like, is that like a hot commodity?
I don't. She didn't know what she took. Right?
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't she just steal an Amazon package?
I don't know, dog.
She didn't know what it was.
Oh, but when they talk,
she was rolling the dice.
When I was like, what the hell just happened? And I was like, it's not funny because
it's pretty funny.
It is. Well, you know, I don't like make fun of mamas, man. You know, I try to stay away.
Okay, I'll do it.
I try to stay away from people's mamas.
Uh-huh.
But that's
right. Yeah,
I was like, hold on. You did what?
Yeah. So if you didn't know, there's video footage, for, I guess, from like the condo they live in or whatever, of Rasheed Rice's mom stealing people's packages from their door, and they know that it's her partially because it looks like her.
And
but if there was any doubt about that,
and
it's what does it say, Rasheed's mom?
Yes,
or Mama Rice?
Yes.
Or something on a customized Chiefs jersey?
Yes. Like, Mama!
She's stealing stuff in front of a ring camera on a customized football jersey.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me that people, you drop your guard with them damn. I'm always on guard with them things. Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, the Amazon package?
No, with the ring doorbell. I'm always conscious that somebody has one. So I try to my best, and I don't go to many people's front door anyway, but just not to say too many things around it, especially like ours. Because she called me saying some craziness the other day. And she was like, what'd you say? I was like, hey, what you talking about? I heard you on the ring camera. I was like, oh.
Damn.
Yeah, damn.
Surveillance footage.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I got a loud mouth. So I was just, yeah. But I wasn't mad at nobody in particular. I was talking about one of the neighbors.
Mm.
Yeah, I was mad at somebody else.
I bet that's pretty funny video, actually.
It pretty much was, though. Because I was a little, you know. I'm not all for soliciting.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. I don't have one of them signs in my yard. That don't mean you can come up to my door. All right. I do know who my Lord and Savior, yeah, all that other stuff.
I do
know
I'm
not converting.
Thanks for the option.
Yeah,
thanks for the option.
Yeah,
we're good.
No, I'm not converting.
We're good. It is wild to be an Amazon package thief and just hope you get something good.
Yeah,
because it might, like, the stuff we have delivered to our house is nonsense. Like, it's not. It's like an extra power cord, or maybe like there's been a lot of diapers.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody who's done that, sent diapers over for the relief. But, like, if you stole Amazon package from our house, you'd be so disappointed.
Oh,
it'd be nothing good.
Dude.
You're not getting anything valuable.
Dude. The funny is, my wife got the new iPhone thing, and so it got UPS in, and you got to sign a signature for it and all that other thing. And so she missed another day. Like, she is obsessed with packages, so there's no telling what's a package. Because I'm like, just like you, like, what do you need that for? Oh, we need some new hanger clips?
Oh. I'm always interested when a package shows up. Like, I wonder what this is.
I don't ever wonder.
Because I've probably heard her say over the last couple of days, oh, we're out of this, or oh, I think I need this, or oh, this broke, I need to replace it. Usually it's just like a filter for an air purifier or something like that. Which, again, if you're stealing stuff for people's doorsteps and you go home and open the box and it's a filter for an air purifier, you should just take it back to them because they need that. They're just trying to have clean air in their house, probably for their kids. You're a jerk for stealing. Don't steal. Yeah, just don't steal. All right, let's get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. All right. Week 5 starts tonight. Falcons and Bucks, national TV, or Prime. Same thing. And right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear from Raheem Morris. We got a chance to have him on the show at the end of
Mama Rice, only went 4.
This is Mama Rice. He had a little legal trouble last offseason, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, Mama Rice put a phone.
All right. Not great. He's hurt now, too, so this is not a lot of good stories about the Rice family coming out right now. Raheem was on with us yesterday. If you missed the interview, check it out. Andy and Randy podcast page. Subscribe to the podcast. It's just solid content every single day. Or go to the website, 92.9thegame.com. Go to the Andy and Randy page. Here's Raheem talking about the number one thing that the Falcons need to get better at. That is correct.
Yes.
That's something we've been harping on all week. Kind of, I don't know, not that you need the confirmation, but kind of cool to be talking about one thing specifically all week long, ask him what he thinks is the biggest issue, and then he says he thinks that's the biggest issue. Because it is. They're the second worst team in the NFL in terms of time of possession.
Yes.
31st in the NFL.
Yes.
Now, like, that doesn't tell the whole story, because, like, if you were just really explosive and scoring really fast, then maybe you could justify it.
Yes.
But they're also not doing that.
Exactly.
They're also bottom third of the league in terms of scoring points. So they're not scoring any points. They're not keeping the other offense off the field. They're not keeping their drives alive. Those things,
they
honestly
matter.
They're luck. They're, I don't know, lucky is right. They're fortunate to be 2-2.
Yeah, they matter.
They all matter.
They matter so much, Buck, and they got to get out to a good start, especially, you know, especially the first offensive drive. You need to go down there defensively. Get a 3-and-out. You know, when's the last time this team got a 3-and-out?
That'd be great.
To start a game.
That'd be awesome.
Great to get a 3-and-out to start this football game. And then we can talk about the usage rate and everything. And I keep going back looking at other stuff, and I'm over here just scribbling plays over here for Kyle.
You just writing up plays
writing
for Kyle?
No, I'm just writing up because he's like these. Some of these things that allowing him to go straight is. I don't know. I don't know. But it's just not about him. It's about the whole offense. Now, he's a big part of it. And when you're missing one of your supposedly playmakers, biggest playmakers, is not getting the rocker, is not involved, the offense struggle. That's not just here in Atlanta. That's every damn where. That's everywhere. If your difference makers are not making a difference, your offense is going to, especially when you rely on that. When you came into the season relying on that production,
yeah,
it hampers things. Now you got to get more plays to be able to get everybody more involved. And we were talking, and one of our listeners hit us up about the whole dynamic of running back, like
Tevin Coleman, like Tevin and Coleman, Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, okay. But did you see that offense?
Right.
They were rolling.
Yeah.
They were rolling.
And no disrespect to Devontae Freeman's an awesome player.
Yeah.
Made a lot of big plays here and made a lot of money. Bijan's supposed to be better than that.
Yes.
Like Bijan Robinson compared to guys that are in the Hall of Fame as far as what he's supposed to be in the NFL. Now, maybe that's unfair. Maybe that's not what it's going to be. Maybe it will. He's still very early in his career. He's another guy. Like, honestly, I know Kyle Pitts is going to get the brunt of the
yes.
of the focus because of it's so glaring.
He hasn't had it.
Yeah, and it's tapered. And yeah. I realize he seems banged up, whatever, but, like, I mean, Tyler Allgeier was able to go and get a very impactful yards mm-hmm. and be a part of the run game last week, even with as much as they struggled in the run game. Bijan's supposed to be, and I realize he got a touchdown taken away.
Yes.
We'd probably view it differently had he scored that touchdown. But he hasn't been as good as we've needed him to be either.
I think because they're two different players. Like, Bijan's not a power mover.
No.
Bijan, he's smooth, he's shifty, all those different things. Like, Tyler Allgeier is a pile mover.
Yes.
Tyler Allgeier is, give me the ball, I'm going to cut one time, and you know what? I'm going to go straight up here, I'm going to get whatever I get.
The most telling play he's had this year is that little dump-off pass where he caught the ball, I don't know how many yards behind,
yes.
It was third down, behind the yard to get behind the game. And he was like, you know what? These guys can't tackle me.
Mm-hmm.
And he just bulldozed five guys. And he ended up getting the first down.
He catches the ball like a power back. Like, oh, I got it. like
he's never made a one-hand catch
yeah.
in his life.
Oh, I got it. Last week, when Derrick Henry caught the touchdown from Lamar, that's how he caught it. I caught it. You know, the big power backs. Oh, boy, it's the funniest thing in the world, like,
yeah.
watching them catch. Because it's not natural.
Not
it's
at
not
all.
It's not a natural movement.
It's a two-hand squeeze
it
for dear life.
Just go, and then just go. But, yeah, I mean, I want to see how often they use him and everything as far as, like, trying to keep him on pace and everything like that. They're going to have four hands, two bodies to get Vita Vea. All right, because this dude is like, you know, he just don't move.
He's a mountain.
Yeah, so if you got to be able to contain him because he will wreck a run game. And the best thing the best thing about him is that for the Falcons is if they can get that stretch going and have that big man moving,
yeah.
and have him moving side to side and fighting off blocks, that'd be the best thing for him.
Yeah, try to tire him out. They've got some other decent guys on that line, too. Joe Tryon was
a
first-round draft pick from a couple
good
of
player.
Years ago.
Good player. He got hurt last year.
Yeah, he did. He got hurt early, so he didn't get to play.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lavonte David in the middle of that defense has been there forever and ever. And then you're talking about Antoine Winfield? No?
I don't think so.
No, Antoine Winfield.
I don't think
helpful.
He's going to play. Yeah. I think he got a high ankle sprain early in the season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's not going to play. I think, you know, but they got to control. They got to control the big man. They got to control the big man. They can control the big man. They can run the football against this team, but they got to get him blocked.
I didn't realize Vita Vea's backup is Greg Gaines. That was the guy that lined up next to him at Washington.
Oh, really?
They were teammates.
Oh,
yeah. That was the team that went to the playoff back in 17.
But they got to they can control the big man. and I'm talking about with that stretch, and able to capture the edge, they can have some success.
Ah, that'd be great. It'd be so great to see. I just get it going, get in rhythm on in the first drive, get a lead, play with a lead maybe. That might be helpful. We'll get our keys to the victory coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes. Grant McCauley going to join us next, so we'll talk Braves with him, talk about last night, talk about the offseason because it is now the offseason. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. 20 minutes back page with Bo. We'll get back into the big story, top of the 1 o'clock hour. Falcons-Bucks tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley joins us at 12:20 on Thursday. So 92.9 The Game Braves insider, host of From the Diamond. Grant, how are you?
You back.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, obviously we're kind of, I think, in the same boat with the season coming to a close last night. Just a whirlwind, too, right? Like with last week being what it was and then having a scramble to play the three and then the doubleheader and then fly across the country and play two games and now it's over. Last night, unfortunately, kind of felt like the season in a nutshell, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and this past week, I mean, it really passed, what, 72 hours or so that the Braves were playing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was kind of a microcosm of the season because it was that entire roller coaster. You had a game that you could have won but didn't. Then you had a game that you had to win and did. And then you had an injury. And then you had to, you know, scramble and do this and that and the other. And it's just kind of, it was one of those years where the challenges were many. I think that they were able to overcome a lot of those. They were able to continue to at least navigate, have the opportunity to at least sign the guest book in October. A lot of clubs out there don't get that chance, but that wasn't the goal when they set out this year. So there's a lot to, as they say, unpack about the 2024 season. And then I think there's a segment of fans that would like to pack it in a box and never think about it again.
I think I'm one of those. Hey, Grant, last 2 weeks ago I asked you about Michael Harris, and me and Andrew talking about the way he did not want to go home. I mean, I don't think any of the guys wanted to go. He did not want to go home. The way he's been playing, Grant, in his maturity, I won't say maturity because he was mature when he got here, but his growth, just from the time he's come back. Can I go back to the question 2 weeks ago? If he's healthy for the year, are we talking about the best center fielder?
Yeah, and he's on a very short list. Talking about a guy that at 3 years into the big leagues, and he still is, I think the best is yet to come for Michael Harris. And he was on an incredible hot streak this last two, almost 3 weeks. He was one of the sole guys that in this couple of games, and that's not a big sample size, that was able to swing and do the things that you needed to offensively to make you feel like you could get something going. And that, I think, is a lot of what Michael Harris has to offer. It's not just offensively, it's defensively. Yeah. Yep. And he also has a certain energy, I feel like, that goes with his game that is a net positive for this club as well. So I'm excited to see what the future holds for Michael Harris. Also, I think a lot of people excited to see what the future of a healthy Braves outfield could hold. And he lost 2 months during the season, which kind of derailed things for a while. And I feel like a lot of folks came into the season looking at Michael Harris thinking this could be the breakout star for the club and maybe for in the National League. He would have that opportunity, and hopefully 2025 is more health and more advancement for one of the great young players in the game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the more health part is the story of the year. I mean, it's just what happened. It's unprecedented. It's crazy. It was frustrating. We talked about it all year. Is there more to the struggle or more to the season ending than that? Like, because to me, it seems fairly explainable. It's frustrating that it's over, but fairly explainable. And I don't know. I'm not that worked up about it because I think that health will come. Is there anything structural to you that you look at and you're like, yeah, I don't know, health, yeah, but then there's also this stuff that maybe led to the season coming to a premature end?
Yeah, it would be short-sighted to say that injury was the only thing that affected the 2024 Atlanta Braves. I mean, their inability to offensively get on track or make adjustments or approach, I think, are all things that they should put it all out on the table and really look at how can we find ways to improve this incrementally, because you can't guarantee an offensively historic team like they had a year ago. That's the outlier. That is not attainable every single year. Does that mean that they should stop trying to hit the ball hard? Of course not. I mean, I had people in my mentions on social media saying, see, look what the Padres are doing. yeah, they're hitting weak contact. It's going in the right spot, but they're not planning that. You don't go up there
planning for that.
That's either good or bad fortune for the hitter, but nobody's teaching that anywhere either. So good luck trying to hit it off the very end of the bat in a spot where a defender can't get to it. You know, as great as some of the greatest hitters we could ever talk about were, hit them where they ain't is not built quite like that. So I look at it as the injuries are probably the overriding factor of what affected this team. There's really no debating that. And people that are tired of hearing it or don't want to use it as, you know, the foundation for why this club didn't get where it wants to get are kidding themselves. But that doesn't mean that offensively this club might not want to start revisiting and perhaps embracing a few different approaches and changes to their approach that could benefit them from a situational hitting standpoint, if nothing else.
Hey, Grant, I wrote down something you just said. You said adjustments. Could those adjustments be better with the guys who were injured?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, and also, I mean, with the injury, I mean, you got robbed of Ronald Acuña Jr. having an opportunity to be who he is for the first couple of months that were pretty slow for him. I got to believe that he was going to be, you know, making an impact at some point. It was just a matter of time. Austin Riley starts swinging the bat well, gets hurt, out for the year. That also hurt this club. So the injuries and the regression by the offense on the whole, which the injuries certainly played a part in because it wasn't just Ronald Acuña Jr. and Austin Riley. It was Sean Murphy. It was Ozzie Albies. It was Michael Harris missing significant time. And that those are some core players. And then Matt Olson's first half and really into the second half, he didn't get on track until the final couple of months. So, you know, it was just kind of a season in which a whole bunch of things, I think, kind of converged and just did not go the way that the Braves were hoping that they would or the way that they had planned for them to go, quite obviously.
Do you think last night is the last time we see Max Fried as a Brave?
That's a good question, and I've had that question a lot, and I'm sure Max Fried has gotten that question a lot, especially in the last 12 or so hours. It's going to become something that he won't be able to run from, but now he doesn't have to pitch through it. But I do feel like he is going to be an in-demand pitcher. I know some folks might look at the postseason numbers and last night's, you know, inability to give the Braves the start that he's capable of giving them as knocks on him, but the bigger resume speaks to an incredibly polished pitcher who has been a huge part of the Braves' success, and there are going to be a lot of other teams out there clamoring for him. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Dodgers are the only team that's going to want to sign him. I know everybody's looked at it and said, well, he grew up out there. They just spent $1 billion, of which a large portion of that was on three pitchers, one who didn't throw a pitch this year. I'm not sure he fits there, but I'm sure there are going to be a lot of clubs out there that will be interested to see what that fit looks like. And maybe it's the Blake Snell model of you find a deal that you really like this year, and you know, maybe it has team options in it. Maybe you find some way to get creative with it if you have to. But some club out there is going to be willing to pay Max Fried a good amount of money. I am convinced. I'm just not sure that it's going to be the Atlanta Braves at this point.
What about any other position as far as
shortstop?
Okay. I didn't want to come out.
Yeah, we don't have to beat around the bush there. I think that
we all know.
Orlando Arcia is a player who can be a contributor on your roster on the whole, but as a starting everyday player, offensively speaking, this year, that was an exposed weakness for this club. Now, I will also stipulate, so as not to pick on him, he was not the only underperformer this year. And when you have a lineup that doesn't have 630 homer hitters and 340 homer hitters and maybe the best player in baseball leading off, it's harder to hide that. But there's a reason why Orlando Arcia signed a multi-year deal that amounts to about $2 million a year. He's not looked at as that starting top-level shortstop. Defensively, I'm perfectly fine with him. It's great, but it's just not what you need offensively speaking, consistently and historically speaking. And I know this is not a lot of fun to talk about because the 2024 Braves had plenty of blame to go around, but one of the worst seasons hitting with runners on base in the history of the game.
Damn.
You've got to figure out ways to get better than that.
It's wild because it felt like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it felt like
it looked like it every time. Might have set a record for two men on, two men out, and not coming through this year. It felt like it happened once a game.
It did.
At one point in the month of September.
It did. It's always interesting, or I don't know if it's good, whatever. But it's always interesting when stats actually back up what you feel like you're seeing, because it felt like it was every single night. It's like, all right, comes RC again with runners on second and third. See, we know how this one goes, and it went like that.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. You talked about the outfield and a healthy outfield. I think we know what that means with Harris in center and Acuña in right. What do you think left field looks like going into next year? I know it was a platoon this year, and I know Soler is going to be back, but how do you see them handling that potentially?
Yeah, I mean, the Soler question, I think, is the biggest one for him, because obviously if Ronald Acuña Jr. is healthy, he's not going to play right field. Soler can play the outfield. I think that it was more exposed and looked worse this year because he hadn't done it at all. And to throw somebody out there, and they knew this was part of the plan. It was a calculated risk, and there were a handful of plays where Jorge Soler clearly cost the Braves some runs, and it seemed to happen every time Chris Sale started, if we're being honest. And
that's,
probably just, anecdotal, if nothing else. But, they've got to figure out what they want to do with
it. Sale hit him once with a pitch back in the day.
That may be. Yeah, there may have been something to figure out there. Hopefully not, though. But they've got to figure out what they want to do with Soler, because you can't plug him into DH if you bring back Marcell Ozuna, which I don't see the case for not bringing back Marcell Ozuna.
Grant, is he still on the same contract?
He has an option year for next year.
Okay.
Awesome.
So they've got to make that choice as well, and I think that's a pretty easy choice to make as far as the firepower of your offense and bringing that guy back. And really what he has become for this club, whereas the first 2 years were injury and problems and questions, Marcell Ozuna the last 2 years has been a pivotal, central figure for this team in a lot of good ways on the field and off, and I don't think you can ignore that.
No doubt. I tried to cut that guy so many times on this radio show.
Oh, a lot of people did.
I was talking to Bo just a second ago. I was like, damn, how many more years left on this dude? It seems like this deal's been like 7 years.
I know.
It really, really
does.
We
tried to cut him off the first couple years of it 10 times, and then now we're like, can this deal last forever? This guy's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Grant, we appreciate the insight all season
appreciate
long.
Appreciate you,
man.
My
Thank
brother.
You.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I appreciate it. Always enjoy talking with you, and hopefully we'll get to have some good talks over the winter about the Braves making some changes that will affect 2025 in a positive way.
No
appreciate
doubt.
You, brother.
And as always, you can follow Grant on social media. The season ends for the Braves. It doesn't end for Grant.
Yeah, sure doesn't.
Host of From the Diamond. He'll have you covered with a season recap for sure this weekend, but Grant doesn't stop. Grant covers the Braves 365 days a year. 366 days this year, Randy,
because
it's leap year. Grant's not sleeping.
I got a question for you, because we had this conversation, and you, maybe a couple weeks ago, and you threw out a shortstop name.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that?
Abrams.
That's
from the Nationals.
From the Nationals.
Just because they're so mad at him. Remember, they sent him to the minors for playing poker all night?
Yeah.
I think he's from here.
Oh,
I think
okay.
he's from Atlanta.
There's no casinos here.
No, right. Gambling's not legal here.
Yeah.
I guess he did it on the road.
He did. But he's that good?
He's pretty good.
Okay.
He's raw. He's young and he's good. He's young and makes mistakes and stuff, but he's got a lot of talent.
Okay.
It would be fun.
That's what I was checking with. I'm like, I'm sure there'll be a list of free agents, shortstops.
There's probably better options than that. Do you have other better options?
Willie Adames is going to be out there.
Ooh. Who?
Willie Adames.
Okay.
The Brewer shortstop.
Didn't they used to have his brother? Or am I thinking of somebody else? I don't know. I'm out in the deep. Oh, that's what it was. Matt Adams. Isn't he Willie Adames' brother? I'm out in the deep end now without a life raft.
Matt Adams.
Grant.
Force Freddie to first, third.
Third base.
Yeah.
Matt Adams. Matt Adams was on a heater, so they were like, can't get him out of the lineup. Thank God for the DH, man. That was pre-DH, so we had to find
Matt,
a way.
They were playing. He put Freddie at third base because of Matt damn Adams.
Yeah, Matt Adams. He's hit four home runs, because that's how bad things were for the Braves back
they
then,
were
man.
Horrible.
Things were so bad. That was like 2016 or 17 or something like that. It was like, all right, Freddie's playing third.
They put that man at third base for Matt damn Adams.
Good times. I think they've made the playoffs every single year since then.
Wow.
So, I don't know. No consolation or anything like that, but it is nice to make the playoffs every year, even when the team's not particularly great and they're snake bit by injuries and all that kind of stuff.
All right, since the Braves are officially done, I'm not watching any more baseball, but who you like?
I like the Padres. They're kind of fun to watch the last couple nights.
You think Padres and...
I'll take the Padres.
You take the Padres out the...
Padres and the... What about the Red Hot Tigers?
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. Can I do that?
Padres the Tigers? That'd be great.
It's like the early
80s. That'd be
grimy. The early 80s all over again.
That'd be grimy right
now. Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker and Tony Gwynn, and I don't know who the hell else used to play for the Padres back in the day, but I know he did. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like that.
Padres Tigers. Okay.
Sign me up. Oh, hey. Thanks for listening to us. We're so thankful that caller number 6 right now is going to go see Anderson .Paak and the Free Nationals on Sunday, October 13th at Lakewood Amphitheater. Caller number 6 right now at 404-726-0929. Just for listening to Andy and Randy and being good at dialing a telephone, We're going to send you to see Anderson Paak. We'll be right back with the back page with Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, big story of the day coming up in 20 minutes. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, Smoking Joe Patrick at 1:20. Good day to talk to Joe.
Yeah, man.
Falcons play today. So we'll get his thoughts on what tonight's game might look like. Hey, tomorrow, I know you've heard the promos, we've talked about it, but we're excited. We're going to be at Topgolf
in
Alpharetta from 11 to 2. So come by and see us. Come hang out. Have a little lunch at Topgolf, hit some golf balls, and see Andy and Randy.
Are you bringing your glove? Have we decided?
I don't think so.
Okay. Are you bringing the new driver?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But I'll hit the clubs they have.
Okay. I'm just curious. Yeah. I know. I was going to, how you going to roll? Are you coming polo shirt?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think so. I think I'll probably wear a t-shirt tomorrow, too. I usually wear, like, a Huskies t-shirt on Friday.
Yeah, I know. We always do. But you know how you get when you get around golf stuff?
Well, and
you get real golfy.
That's true. Yeah. I do tend to get pretty golfy around golf stuff. Now, and I don't know if this comes off as disrespectful or anything. I don't mean it to be. When we're at, like, a golf tournament at a golf course.
Right.
Or, whether it's a tour championship or it's a charity thing or something like that. Feel like you're at the course, right? Maybe polo kind of situation like that because it's more course attire.
Oh.
The Topgolf is not the same. It's not a course.
I understand.
So
I don't know. I don't know.
Topgolf's very nice. I'm not trying to criticize Topgolf.
I don't know what the golf do to you. You know, I don't know. It bring it out. You like the Cheddar Bay biscuit? Bring it out them.
Exactly.
Golf clubs bring it out you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it makes me very freaky.
Yes.
And it brings, I have to wear a polo shirt.
Yeah, it brings out.
Nothing makes me freakier than a polo shirt.
I think
that collar pop.
Then like a
the
Winnie the Pooh collar look.
Yeah, yeah.
Very freaky.
Yeah. Pop the collar.
Yeah, yeah. The Winnie the Pooh collar shirt.
Nothing else.
Yeah, that's one for the win, right there.
Plus, I spent way too much money on that polo shirt at the Tour Championship a couple years ago. So every time we do anything golf related, I have to wear it so I can get my money's worth. I'm still. I like a shirt to have a dollar per wear. You know what I mean? If it costs $50, I want to wear it 50 times.
Okay.
If it costs $100, I want to wear it 100 times.
Yeah.
That shirt cost $104.
You paid $100 for that shirt?
It's outrageous, right?
You paid $100 for that one?
I know. It's very...
It's nice.
It's nice. It's not that nice.
Did you, like, the spreadsheet? No, we always go back.
I don't know. I think I probably paid for that with my own...
Okay.
My own debit card, so that one didn't show up in the account. I don't know. Maybe I was feeling myself. We must have got a ratings bonus that week. I don't know what it was.
We did, actually.
There had to be some justification.
I think we did get a bonus. A ratings bonus. I think we did. You know what? Because right before Twitter, we did.
Okay.
I think we did get
there
a ratings
it is.
Bonus. Yeah. We did. It's about a $100 damn polo shirt.
Yeah, let me blow it all on one shirt. Look good in that shirt, though. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Hello, Bo.
For those of you that may have noticed, that was the sultry sounds of Coolio, It Takes a Thief, that brought us into this particular segment, and that was with reason, as we've only gotten half the story.
Oh.
Apparently, Rashi Rice Mama was arrested back in March for stealing 40 items from some guy. I guess that maybe they were household items, so maybe I guess it was like a neighbor. All right, so court documents were obtained by TMZ, alleged that she nabbed 40 items from the guy, including food, tumblers, laundry products, merchandise, and socks.
She klepto?
I guess so, man. And then it was thrown out of court eventually because she completed some unspecified conditions. Maybe did some community service or something like that. Like,
her son's in the NFL woman. Now and they have a good lawyer.
He ain't got that second contract yet, but...
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of nonsense going on with him last offseason.
Yes.
I guess crime runs in the family?
No! We will not be those people. That's all everybody said under there. Guess he gets it from his mama. No, we're not going to do that.
Well, his mom's getting arrested and stealing.
Right.
And he's getting arrested.
For doing dumb stuff. Both of them are dumb.
Both pretty dumb.
Both are dumb.
The Ring camera video from the Amazon package, she actually thought that she had gotten out of the way of the video before she picked it up. And
Mama Rice on the back
Mama
of her
Rice,
jersey.
Number 4 on a jersey.
Was she going to a game or leaving a game?
Maybe she was.
It looked like night, so probably leaving a game. They were getting home from a game. I don't know. Maybe she had a few, you know? get a little loose.
Her juices start flowing. She starts feel like going.
Yeah, don't you want to steal stuff when you get drunk? That's just me.
Only hearts, Andy.
Yeah, only hearts.
Only hearts.
I mean, her son's in the NFL. She doesn't have to steal stuff anymore.
But somebody should tell her that.
Maybe, I mean, that's what I said. Klepto?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe she has a problem. Maybe she should spin it like that. This is actually a problem that you shouldn't make fun of her for.
Yeah.
She needs help.
I know my son's in the NFL. I just, you know, or, I don't know.
I just like to steal.
Say it wasn't me.
I like the rush.
Say it wasn't me.
Do you even get a rush if you steal, like, a package off someone's door?
I don't know.
There's
never stolen one before.
No risk, sure, there
is.
Really?
Well, there is risk, because...
But, like, that's not the same thing as being
someone.
A diamond thief, you know?
No, nowhere near.
Like
nowhere
the Thomas near. Crown affair, breaking into a museum to steal art. You're just walking by a condo and stealing a box of something you might not even know what it is.
And that's the thing about it. You just want to steal it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know how many times you get a good lick.
Yeah, I wonder what the percentage is.
Yeah, what are the percentages?
One in 10?
20? I don't know. Like, if you stole the next 20 packages off my doorstep, you'd be 0 for 20. Like, it would be no fun at all. I mean, it's all just boring household crap that, not crap, if my wife's listening, but it's just stuff that's not exciting for
anyone. It's a market for everything, man. It's a market for everything. We just found out yesterday that cats are buying tassels off of book bags.
It is true.
I mean,
people will steal anything.
Yeah.
That is very strange when I heard that. And I'm sure, you know, Olivia is going through that, too.
What's the last thing you stole?
Ask her.
I will.
Ask her about this, if they doing it at her school.
And I, if somebody ever takes some off my kid's book bag.
It's this new thing, man.
It's going to be hell to pay.
What's the last thing you stole?
Ooh, man.
Oh, jeez.
When last time I got the worst ass whooping I ever got in my life, I had stole, we were going to, that's what my mama told you about the gang and everything. And so they had, like, the carnival on base. And they had, like, the T-shirts and stuff. And so we stole the T-shirt, and we were going to sell them. We stole the T-shirt. We're gonna sell them, and then we knocked off a PX. Knocked off a PX.
Okay.
Got a whole bunch of stuff from the PX. So yeah.
You guys were serious.
Oh yeah, mom.
This is organized.
Yeah, mama beat. Ooh boy. That's the last one I got, but that's the worst one I ever got. Yeah, man.
We accidentally.
And then she took me to jail.
Oh.
Yeah. Then she
took
me,
you.
Yeah, she took me to
the
MPs.
That's mama right there. That's how you learn a lesson.
I beat my ass and then
what
took me to the MPs.
What a great mom.
Yeah, she did.
We accidentally stole our Christmas tree a couple years ago.
How do you accidentally steal a Christmas tree?
We were at a Christmas tree farm in Blue Ridge.
Yeah, okay, like y'all always do.
Yeah, we chopped it down, and they bag it up for you, and they go put it by the side of by the parking lot,
uh-huh.
Right? So I went to get the car so I could pull it up, and we could put it on top, so I'm doing all that. She's got Lily and Boone. She's putting them in the car. She was in the bathroom when they put the over by the thing. We got it up there, we drive away, and she was like, we were probably back to Atlanta by this point. Did you pay? I was like, I didn't pay. Did you pay? Like, we both thought the other person had paid for the tree.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't. So the next year, we go to the same Christmas tree farm every year. Uh-huh. The next year we went up there. I was like, hey, last year we drove off without paying for the tree.
Right.
I don't remember how much it was. Just charged me twice for this tree.
Right.
So we bought it. It was a year later.
Oh, okay.
Good for y'all.
An accidental surprise.
Your name wasn't up on a face. It wasn't up on a poster.
Ashley was like, can we go back
Christmas
there?
Tree thieves.
I was like, yeah, we could go back there. We didn't steal it on purpose.
You stole it.
Yeah, we did.
Y'all arrived with stolen property.
Stole a Christmas tree like the Grinch. It's the absolute worst. I felt so bad. If it wasn't all the way in Blue Ridge, I would have drove back and paid, but figured just get them next year, and we did.
So y'all have talked about it a little bit. You know, the Davante Adams, you know, wants to be traded. The Raiders say they're open to trading him. Well, you know, word comes down through the pike that a couple of names that were mentioned were former quarterbacks of his that he wanted to go play with, being the Jets and the Saints. So y'all know I'm a fan of the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So Amon-Ra and his brother Equanimeous, who plays for the Saints right now, granted, all right.
God, great names in that family.
Great names. On their podcast yesterday, Equanimeous and Amon-Ra are talking about where Davante Adams should land, and the Saints come up. So, I don't know. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown and what he brings to the field, but why does he got to be such a hater? So, Amon-Ra would go on to say Chiefs, which is not going to happen,
right.
And then Jets because of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know why this Chiefs thing. I just saw something. Well, what the Chiefs get the best package? I'm not giving Davante Adams the damn Chiefs.
Yeah, do people know what the Chiefs and Raiders
are?
Like that?
No.
They hate each other. They have forever.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. The one that played in Detroit, man, he's such a hell of a player, but he's a little whiny little, like, whiny face.
He might be as annoying off the field as he is good on the field.
He is great on the field.
He's great. He's incredible. I love watching him.
He's a little annoying.
Yeah, he's a fatty little fella.
Yeah, he is.
And man, they got that podcast that just allows the chats. That what's the podcast called? Do you know?
I'll find it for you.
Okay.
So, you know, we talk about, and Rain, I think you probably just went through this, you know, these verbal agreements by high school kids to colleges.
Right.
And when they get these verbal agreements, what exactly do they mean? You know, Knox Bardeen's daughter has just made a verbal agreement to go to Virginia Tech. So how about a 12-year-old making a verbal agreement? And this 12-year-old is the third Acuna brother.
Clearly. Huh.
The Philadelphia Phillies have gotten 12-year-old Kenny Acuna to verbally agree to play with them when he gets out of high school.
Dog.
So all the Acunas
like
in
the NLE.
All the Acunas in the NLE.
Should give Braves fans a little bit of solace as to, like, there's no way Acuna's ever going anywhere else if his brother, they're all playing in the same division.
Yeah.
How much longer that does the younger Acuna have?
Luis
Angel? I'm sorry, the middle one. The one for the Mets.
How much longer does he have?
Till like,
kind of depends on when Lindor's contract is over. Maybe they bring him up to play second base.
Okay. I was just curious.
I think he'll probably stay.
I was just curious.
We need a shortstop.
Yeah, I was curious.
That'd be awesome. That's exactly what they should do. Forget the thing I said.
Yeah.
Trade for Luis Angel Acuna.
What do they give up for him?
I don't care. A.J. Smith-Shawver.
A.J. Smith-Shawver and Orlando Arcia.
A.J. Smith-Shawver.
And they can have the guy that played left field, too, that was supposed to be good and wasn't.
Kelnick.
They can have him, too.
A.J. Smith-Shawver.
They drafted him. They drafted Kelnick all these years ago. Bring him back home.
Yeah. Give Shaw. A.J. I got to ask you the whole name. A.J. Smith-Shawver. Yeah.
Why not Elder?
Kelnick.
How about Elder?
Huh?
Give him Elder.
No.
Give they don't want Elder.
A.J. Smith-Shawver. All right? Kelnick and R.C.
I will say, if you're going to take a gamble on a 12-year-old, that family's got a pretty good track record.
They
got a pretty good track record. Like, I feel like Kenny Acuna is probably going to be okay.
How much does that even mean anything?
I don't
a 12-year-old?
Was it? Wasn't Ronnie like this age when all this happened too?
Probably. I think he was 16.
He was 16, yeah. Okay. 16. Oh, what about Ozzie?
I don't know.
Because I think they were all somewhere in that age area, yeah, too.
Okay. I remember the Mariners signed Felix Hernandez when he was 15.
Yeah,
we were like, 15?
Like, yeah,
what the hell?
I know Usually Gums at that age.
And then it worked out.
Like, place for him to sign, place for his parents to sign.
Yeah, like, does he get some bread?
I hope so.
Ronald, he got a rich. Ronald's rich, so I know for a fact he sends money back.
I like that, like, all these franchises, specifically the Braves, got in all this trouble for international.
Remember that?
Scouting a couple of years ago.
Banned.
The guy got banned. Yeah, he got banned. He's not allowed back in baseball. But they're still down there doing stuff like this.
Yes.
You think it cleaned it up at all? No, not at all.
What were we doing wrong with international, like tampering or whatever, when the Phillies can go
yeah,
get an agreement for a 12-year-old?
Exactly. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to the big story
AJ
of the day.
AJ Smith-Shawver.
Randy's going to trade that guy 50 times this offseason.
Damn right. He
He's
going to
trade him everywhere. All right. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.